Alright, it's recording.
Down to Flavorville.
Math! Not math. Uh-oh. What is this? What is it called?
The movies?
Lights, camera, action! There we go. Oh shit, welcome to Month of Movies for July 2015. I'm Scott.
And I'm Jason.
And in this podcast, we talk about... I have a list of the 52 worst movies of all time that I'm trying to watch.
And I have a list of the 52 best. Just kidding.
That was me last year.
No, I just have a bunch of box sets of movies that I'm going through. And every couple months, I start a new box set.
And then also all the other movies we have seen in that month.
Mm-hmm.
Holy shit, it's hot in here. We turn the fans off because it's messing up the microphone.
Yeah.
And it's hot.
Yeah, it is. So this month, I started a new box set. And it's the Alfred Hitchcock Masterpiece Collection. So I'm working my way through a bunch of Alfred Hitchcock movies. It's probably going to be coming out about 4 months of Hitchcock, because it's like 1 week.
Yeah, and I'm doing horribly.
Did you watch any movies that were bad?
I watched one bad movie this month.
Yeah,
I need
behind.
To find them. I'm getting scared. It's August now, and I have more than half of them to watch. I think I might be caught up to where I should be at the end of May. But that means I still have like 9 more movies to watch to catch up. But August, so like I'm like, by the time I'm like 12 behind. I'm fucked. But this is gonna, okay. Yeah, I'm gonna catch up though. I gotta catch up. Catch up.
But to start the first movie of the month, I watched it July 1st, and it was Alice in Wonderland. And you might ask, oh, which Alice in Wonderland? Because there's a million versions of it. You pick a year, there probably was an Alice in Wonderland made in that year.
True, I can think of at least like 5.
Yeah, and I don't know, and then you got the animated one, and then...
Yeah, this is one, that was one of them.
But this one is from 1985, and the reason why I watched it, because this is the version that I watched when I was a kid.
Yeah.
And it was a long movie, because it was basically 2 movies in one.
Or 2 books in one?
Is that how it works? I didn't read the books.
I don't remember. Because I think the second one is Through the Looking Glass, isn't it?
I don't know. This is all one movie on here.
Yeah.
They cut it in half, and they're like part one and part two. But, yeah, so it's... What is that?
What? What are you looking at?
It's over 3 hours long, this movie.
Whoa.
Yeah.
That's quite a kid's movie.
Yeah. So, but it's basically, it's like a little over an hour and a half each, because they're 2 movies.
Yeah.
But the funny thing is, okay... It took me forever to find this one, the specific one, because I didn't know anything about it. But now, I know that it's full of celebrities.
Yeah.
Because Sammy Davis Jr. played the Caterpillar in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's, like, Ringo Starr was in it, and Scott Baio, and they played, like, a turtle and a cat and stuff. But there's, like, a lot of people, too, that I recognize that I don't know their names offhand, but I'm like, oh, it's that lady who always did that.
And the old dude.
Mm-hmm.
Shit. God damn, I remember
but
it, too.
This one had the Jabberwocky, which was a giant dragon.
Yeah.
Which scared me as a kid.
Nowhere near as scary as an adult.
Still pretty scary, because there's the part where... at the end of the first movie, she's like, oh, I gotta get home. And then when she gets home... The house is empty, and she sees her parents in the mirror, but they're not in her house.
Are they dead?
No, because she's on the other side of the mirror somehow, but oh. I don't know why they wouldn't be there either, because it's a reflection. But anyway, and then the dragon comes, and then, oh no, to be continued!
So they're like reverse vampires? Like, you see them in the mirror, but you don't see them in real life?
Yeah, they're called ghosts. But I watched it, and it was okay. It was kind of long. It was kind of entertaining, but it was more nostalgia than anything.
Mm-hmm.
I gave it a 5.
I walked in at the last like 10 or 15 minutes of it, and I was like, "Wow, this is very kind of like it was climactic, but at the same time, it wasn't very exciting."
But yeah, I gave that a 5 out of 5, or 5 out of 10. 5 out of 5. That's pretty good. No, 5 out of 10. And then I watched the first movie in my box set, and it was Saboteur.
Saboteur. I have that video game.
In case you didn't know what Saboteur was about...
I don't.
There is these people that are working at this plant that makes airplanes and stuff.
Okay.
And there's a fire. So they're like, oh crap, we gotta get this out. And then like one guy runs in with a fire extinguisher to put out the fire, and then he dies because apparently the fire extinguisher is full of gas.
What?
Yeah. So someone basically killed him, and his partner or his friend or whatever, mm-hmm. they blame him because he handed the thing to him, but he's like, no, this other guy handed it to me. And then they're like, the law is after him because it was like a place where they make airplanes for the war and stuff like that. And they're like, oh, you're trying to take out, you know.
He's a commie spy or something.
Yeah, something like that. So then like they're looking for him and he runs. And he's running from the law pretty much the whole movie.
I've heard Hitchcock likes a lot of movies where he's like, I suppose that's like the style.
So he's like,
film.
So he's trying to like figure out who these people are, and then you're finding like a lot of
a whole
conspiracy and all that stuff. And I didn't know much about this movie until the end scene, and they're like at the Statue of Liberty and stuff, and I was like, oh yeah, I remember this. That was the only thing I knew about the movie, but I'm not going to say what happens. But anyway, they like Alfred Hitchcock made a complete mock of the torch from the Statue of Liberty for the set piece, and they made it like for scale and stuff like that. And they put it in the studio, and they were talking. Yeah,
I wonder how many monuments like he like just made movies about, because in North by Northwest, they were climbing around on the freaking Mount Rushmore, and this one they're climbing around the Statue of Liberty.
Yeah, but this one is a pretty exciting movie. Like, North by Northwest was good. I didn't look to see what I rated that one back then, but I feel like this one was a better movie than that one. Because there was a lot more stuff that seemed going on. Where there was just like, that one just felt like, oh, we're going here. Oh no, they're going to find us. Let's go here. And this one, they're like actually digging deeper, and there's like more to it.
Yeah.
I gave that one a 7.5.
Okay.
Oh, well, their line disappeared somehow. Anyway, and the cool thing about this box set, each of the movies, there's like a half hour documentary about the movie.
Yeah.
So then you get to see like what they put into the movie, and like they're talking about the Statue of Liberty at the end, like all the special effects and stuff they did to make that work. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of cool. The next movie was also in this box set. It was called Shadow of a Doubt.
Shadow of a Doubt.
It's
a lady on the cover.
Which, apparently, according to the mini-documentary, it was the first... I don't think that's true, though. He said it's the first American movie he did. But...
Well, it wasn't the name Saboteur. It's like...
But Saboteur... French. I mean, the Statue of Liberty and all that, it was in North America, unless they didn't... I don't know.
Well, they built it in a studio. They didn't really necessarily go there. Yeah, that's true.
But basically, Shadow of a Doubt...
Or maybe it's the first one he made for America instead of just Britain or whatever he's from. Sorry. I leaned to the most.
And according to the documentary, Shadow of a Doubt was Alfred Hitchcock's favorite movie he did of all of his. America. But the movie itself is about this family and their uncle that lives, I think, in New York or something like that. And they're like in a suburban neighborhood and stuff like that. And he comes to visit. So like, oh, yay, we haven't seen you, Charlie, in forever. And he comes to visit and stuff like that. And he comes and he gives all of them gifts. And, you know, he's like their favorite uncle. Whenever he visits, he gives them gifts and all that stuff. And then, like, as you're watching the movie, you're like, something's odd about this guy.
Oh, yeah, you're getting a shadow of a doubt.
Yeah, but then they find out that there was, like, I don't want to give too much away, but there are a bunch of people getting killed and murdered and stuff where he came from. And he's like, the person that did it ran from the law, and they're looking all over the place to see where he is. And the cops in that town start investigating him to see if he did it. And then the niece, who was named after her name's also Charlie, so they named after her uncle, and they like share a connection and stuff, so she starts getting suspicious of him, even though she always trusted him. It was a pretty good movie.
And the gifts they give the kids are like all evidence. It's like, here, some pretty much handcuffs.
No,
is it? Oh,
kind of. It's kind of a spoiler, but because he gives her rings.
Rings. Yeah,
like for her finger and stuff. And she's like, "What does this engraving on the inside mean?" And he's like, "Don't worry about it."
Jesus, best uncle.
But I guess I kind of ruined that. Now you know.
Well, I just guessed. That wasn't my fault.
But anyway, and then yeah, toward the end of the movie, it gets pretty interesting.
I still have no idea what else is going on. So,
but yeah, it's funny because the dad and his friend, they just have the weirdest conversations because they just talk about how would you kill somebody and get away with it.
Uh-huh.
Like they're like, oh, how would you do it? Well, I would do this, and they're like, that wouldn't work. What about the evidence? And like they're like just out of fun, they would try to like stump each other. Like mm-hmm. if I killed you this way, like so they're just like constantly pretending to kill each other.
Uh-huh.
And then once she finds out that her uncle might have killed somebody, like she just gets pissed off at them. Like don't joke about stuff like that because there's real people that die.
I thought you were gonna go like, I would do this. And the father and friend would like try to figure out ways and go, wait, that would work. Or something.
Yeah, so that one I gave a 6.5.
All right.
Probably should have gave it a little more because it was a good movie. It just started off really weird. I'm like, where is this going? Because it took a long time to build up that there was even like something weird going on.
Mm-hmm.
You just like realize how close the family was and then all that stuff. And then that... I wrote a different date, but I think the same night I watched another movie of a Netflix.
Netflix?
Yeah, called Nebraska.
I've heard of it. It was up for some Oscars?
Yeah, it won. I don't know if it won, but it was like under the independent films and stuff like that.
Is that the one with the...
what the heck's the guy's name? Will Forte.
Yes, there.
I think he wrote it and directed it or something, but he starred in it. And he's a really funny guy, but this is not a funny movie.
Uh-huh.
This is very serious. The movie itself is his elderly father. Like, he's kind of going a little nuts and stuff. Like, mm-hmm. you know, like Alzheimer's type. Not Alzheimer's, but you know what I mean?
Dementia.
Like, he's, yeah, they think he has dementia and stuff like that. But he gets one of those Publishers Clearinghouse things in the mail. It's not Publishers Clearinghouse, but you know it's like it. And they said, you may have won $1 million. Send in this card to claim to see if you won the $1 million and stuff like that. He's like, I want $1 million. And they're like, Dad, it's a catch. No, it won $1 million. I'm going to go to Nebraska and pick up my prizes. Like, why don't you just mail the card in? Because then someone will steal it and steal my $1 million. And they're like, you're not going.
Mm-hmm.
But then he just starts walking. And they're in Montana or something like that. Or Dakota. I don't remember exactly where they are. Oh, yeah, they're in Montana. So he's walking to Nebraska from Montana. And the cops just keep going, you can't walk on the highways. And they're like, oh. And eventually Will Forte's character is like, fine, we'll take you. Like, I'll take you. I'll drive you there. And on the way, they make a pit stop at his hometown.
Mm-hmm.
So then he meets, like, he's like, this is where I worked. And this is where I grew. You know, like, that kind of stuff. Like, showing the town. And then he tells all the people in his town that he won $1 million. Like, Dad, you shouldn't have said that. So then, like, now all of them want a piece of the money
because
they helped him out when he had rough times when he was growing up. And
mm-hmm.
it was a pretty good movie. It's kind of sad in some spots, like, just like, oh, what would you do in this situation? Like,
kills hopes and stuff.
It was really good. And I liked how they ended the movie too. So it's
everyone
like,
just dies.
No, I'm not spoiling. The ending, but it was a good ending. I was like, what are they gonna do? Are they gonna go? And then what would happen? You know what I mean? But I give it a 7.5.
Okay,
so it was pretty good. And then the next movie, I'm just on a rant because you said you didn't have many to watch.
So. Yeah, I have 4 movies.
The next movie I watched with you.
Yeah, 2 of the movies I watched with you, so I only have 2 to talk about by myself.
So, the next one was Dude Bro Party Massacre 3.
Yes.
So, there is a website called 5-Second Films.
And if you and know the, this...
And these guys are a group of... a group of filmmakers and stuff like that that do films that only last 5 seconds. There's like, they cram a lot into 5 seconds, but it doesn't feel like it.
It's insane.
Each one is entertaining in its own way. And they did a Kickstarter to raise money to do a full length film based on their Dude Bro Party Massacre short films, their 5 second things. So they did a Kickstarter and I pledged money because I thought it would be awesome. And I got a digital copy of the movie. With it, so we sat down and watched it, and basically it's Dude Bro Party Massacre 3, and there's no 1 and 2 movie. That's like kind of the joke because it's a comedy movie,
mm-hmm.
but it's a comedy horror, and they did flashbacks to the first movie, like, this is what happened, da-da-da.
Yeah. That was kind of cool. The very intro of the movie is like a guy talking to a psychiatrist, like, "Oh yeah, this happened
to my brother and stuff."
And then the next year, it'll happen. This, like, explaining the first movie and the second movie, and then this is the third year of college or whatever for him, and so that it was kind of cool how they put that in there.
But there were some parts that I almost died laughing.
Yeah. Well, but the basic plot is.
They're a frat,
and
apparently a sorority house got burnt down because of a prank they did.
A panty raid.
Yeah,
and I was like, yeah, that was cool. The first movie, I think.
Yeah, and then the den mother or whatever it's called.
The mother, whatever.
The house
the sorority mother.
Sorority mother.
Whatever.
Yeah, she took revenge on the whole frat. She got killed in the first movie. So then was her daughter or something? Was her daughter second movie?
Wore her mother's face.
Yeah, so they call her mom.
Mother face.
Mother face, yeah.
Mother face.
The mother face killer.
Yeah. But yeah, so then this is like the third one where it's the frat pledging time. So they're like, we're going to have a party up there. And then they start getting killed off. It's just basically a generic slasher film.
Yeah.
But...
And yeah, every time the mother face kills someone, she has a horrible pun after, and they're amazingly bad.
They're so amazingly bad.
But some of the deaths are pretty funny too.
Yeah.
And God dang it.
Yeah, and then also there's a whole side story where there's the best thing about it is that
just punch them in their face. They're a bag of oranges. They just
boop them in the nose. Bop them in the nose. Like there's a whole side story where these cops are trying to stop the party from happening or something. I don't fucking even remember. But
well, because they did all these pranks and they basically shut an entire city down and stuff. And the cops, like, we can't have them pledging anymore because they'll do even worse. So they have to stop them.
Because they flooded a whole town.
Yeah, they flooded a whole town by breaking a dam.
They broke a dam and flooded the whole town.
So like they don't want them doing any more stuff. So they send cops to stop them.
Yeah, but one of my favorite things about it though was this movie was quote unquote taped off of a late night television, like monster movie, like 4 a.m.
Yeah, at the
movie.
Beginning, at the beginning, they have this disclaimer saying this is the only known copy.
Yeah, but so if anybody remembers the days of VCRs, trying to record and stop and stuff like that, so you don't record the commercials, you see snippets of all these commercials, which kind of. Their whole 5-second films idea comes from, and it's so generically shitty, but so fucking brilliant and fantastic and hilarious.
The tree that busts through the wall to squeeze orange juice.
Yeah. But yeah, overall, I was worried because they do 5-second videos, and they're doing like an hour and a half movie.
And sometimes that doesn't translate well.
Yeah. I mean, there were some points where I was watching it, and I'm like, I was not caring too much, because I'm like, oh yeah, frat stuff, yeah, I don't, you know, like, I was a little bored here and there, but there was some legitimate moments where, like Jason said, I was laughing so hard,
We had to pause the movie.
Yeah, I don't want to say anything, because it's my favorite.
But we didn't see it coming.
It's one of those moments where you don't see it coming, so you're not ready to have air in your lungs, so you laugh so hard, you just lose all the air, and you almost faint. That happened.
And then there's like a couple parts where, looking back, you start laughing because you realize that, wait, how did they, what? Because they're like in the river or lake or whatever, and they're just standing there, and then it pans under, and there's like probably tons of feet down.
It's just like hundreds of feet.
And stuff like, just random stuff.
God damn it. There's a few funny cameos, so.
I gave it a 9 out of 10.
I gave it a 7.5.
Because looking back, I was like, I keep laughing every once in a while at stuff. It was pretty funny.
There's some good moments, but,
I'm going to let you do another, since I just did six movies in a row.
So five movies. The second movie I watched this month was actually off my list.
Well, there you go.
Because
the
I was
first
going,
one off your list?
I was going through my cards.
The only one this month are on your list?
Huh?
The only one from your list?
Yeah,
that you
this month. Because I was going through my cards and seeing which ones were at the library, and I went through all those. And I was seeing what one was on Netflix, and I only had one on Netflix, so I'm like, all right, I got to figure out what the other cards. But Showgirls is on Netflix.
Oh, yeah.
Now, I know that there was a huge hoopla when that movie came out, because it was like NC-17 or something or whatever.
Yeah, it came out in the theaters at NC-17.
Yeah. It says not rated on Netflix, so I don't know if it has everything.
Well, because when they, I think it came out on DVD and stuff, they came out with the NC-17 and the R version.
Yeah,
so I'm guessing not rated would not be the R version.
But because I know Netflix has a tendency to sometimes clip things out of movies on there.
Yeah,
which is weird. But I don't know what could have been. Like, I'm not even really sure.
I think it was more the fact the whole movie's about strippers.
Here's the thing, it's not.
No.
All right. So the start of the movie is Jessie from Saved by the Bell. She is hitchhiking into Las Vegas because she's like, I'm going to be a dancer, because she apparently practiced dancing. And then this guy's like, I'll give you a ride. Sure enough, the guy ends up like stealing her shit, and she's like, I have nothing. But and then for some reason, this girl's like, hey, I'll let you live with me until you get a job. So, like, just the best luck she could ever have. So she starts, like, just working at a strip club. And she starts working at a strip club. And these people go in. Her friend that she's living in with now, she actually works as, if you go to Las Vegas, they have all these different shows.
Mm-hmm.
She works as the costume designer for these shows. So the main character, Jessie, I don't remember what her fucking name is in the movie, she comes along and she's like, hey, oh, just watching all this stuff in the background, and it felt like such a long movie. Lo and behold, eventually she becomes one of the showgirls in these shows, mm-hmm. which, like, they're all like these all nude shows where they dance around and stuff like that, you know, like those whatever shows, and then she wants to become she wants to be like the top star of the show, which in the movie it's like Gina Gershon. A lot of nudity. But unfortunately, the whole time it was just like, yep, there's nudity. It wasn't like that's why I'm like, why is it NC-17? Because it wasn't, even like the sex scenes weren't really that sexy, I guess. Because she, like, fucks a guy in a pool, the guy from Twin Peaks, but she fucking, like, she, like, convulses, and, like, I was more afraid of, like, she's having sex, or she's having a seizure, I can't tell, and I don't know, it's...
So it was good.
No, it was great. Better than
Ezra.
Better than Meet the Spartans. But the thing is, the whole time, she just gets all this amazing luck. But her character is a complete cunt. If anyone says one thing to her, like, hey, oh, I don't care for your earrings or whatever. Like, if anyone just, like, says anything that could possibly be mean to her, she flips her shit out and, like, just has a whine. Ugh, God. She, like, it's, none of the characters in the movie are likable, and the only one that does gets raped. So, that's great. I gave it a 3. Because, well, it wasn't that great. There was one part that was like, all right, cool. Because the girl gets raped, and then
cool part.
No, but then the bitchy main character actually like pays the guy a visit and like beats the shit out of him, which is pretty great. So that was like one good moment, and then just random boobs. So
boobs.
Yeah, 3.
That's a 3.
Yeah, it's not. I don't know. Because at first I was like, this isn't as bad as I thought it was, and then after an hour and a half, I'm like, is not done yet. It's not done. Yeah, nothing happens in the movie. Nothing happens. She wants to be a showgirl. She is. And then she wants to be the best. And then she is. And then she doesn't want to do it anymore. And then she doesn't. And then the movie ends.
She becomes a better person.
No, she doesn't. Because she was a showgirl because she pushed the main girl down the stairs. It's... Yeah. And then she's like, oh, you want me to do this? No. And then she just leaves. Like... You got... Oh, fuck you. Just dumb. It's a dumb movie.
So I was watching this show on Netflix, is a British show called The Inbetweeners.
Yeah.
And it was a TV series. And there's a reason I'm bringing this up.
Okay? I know.
So, but it's like a TV series. It's kind of like a mix between American Pie and Skins.
Okay.
So it's like a bunch of kids in school, high school or whatever it's called, that are trying to get laid. And it's pretty entertaining. It kind of reminds me a little bit of Peep Show as well, as far as the comedy goes. But there's like one guy who is like the big dumb idiot in the group. There's like four guys. There's one guy who's a big dumb idiot in the group, but he gets all the women. And then there's another guy who's really loud, and he's constantly bragging about how much he gets, like getting laid, all that stuff. But he obviously doesn't. He just makes up shit all the time. And then there's another guy who's trying to get laid, and he's got a crush since, like, he knows his girl forever. Mm-hmm. He's trying to get with her. And then there's the other guy who's the main character, and he's new in school, so he, like, befriends these people, and he's kind of like their common sense, but he fucks up quite a bit.
Nah.
And it's hilarious. So I watched all those shows, and then I saw, oh, they have a movie. Mm-hmm. So I watched the movie, and then I realized they had a second movie. So I watched both of those. So I watched the Inbetweeners movie and the Inbetweeners 2. And the first one was like, hey, let's do a movie. Okay. And it felt like they were trying to extend stuff, because they're like, the whole movie, they go on holiday.
Yeah.
So they go to the island of Crete, which is like a party island out of, you know, off of Greece or whatever. Mm-hmm. So they just like go drink, go to dance clubs, try to pick up chicks. And there's like scenes where it's a good 5-10 minutes of them just dancing, just music and dancing. It's like, wow, they're just trying to fill time, huh? Or they're trying to make a soundtrack. I don't know. And like, that was like most of the movie. And then at the end, like, they all like met somebody there and like, you know, blah, blah, blah. But it's just funny, 'cause I'm just like, this, like, you could watch an entire season of the show at the length of this movie,
mm-hmm.
and they had a lot more accomplished in the TV show, and this is the movie. I'm like, oh, I feel sorry for people who went to the theater to see it, because it's kind of disappointing, but,
I gave it a 10.
I gave it a 5. And then the second movie, one of the guys, he moves to Australia because his girlfriend moved down there, so he's down there. And then and this is the guy who lies a lot. So he like sends him letters going, "Oh, I made it really big in Australia. I own a dance club and I got a mansion and I get a different girl to have sex with every night." And da 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 da. He's just making up all this shit. And they're like, "Hey, what do we want to do this for this? We should go and visit him." Okay. So they all go to visit him, and they find out he just works in the bathroom at a dance club, but he pretends that he owns the place.
He works in a bathroom.
Yeah, like the guy who gives you mints and stuff. Okay.
I was like, just filing papers in the bathroom.
No, he gives him like mints and stuff, and he's like, I own this place. And then he's like, starts yelling like a at
bathroom
the
attendant. Okay.
Yeah. And then basically, they find out that the girl that he went down there with like dumped him. So now they're like trying to figure out where she went to try to win him back, and they go across country and they go all kinds of crazy places like water parks and get stuck in the desert and all that stuff. But it was a little more entertaining than the first one because there was actually a plot to it.
You gotta go find her, but first let's do these water slides.
Well, she worked with the dolphins in the water park. So they go to the water park and they're like, "Oh no, she left months ago." And they're like, "Oh, well, we're in this water park. Let's have fun." And then da da da. But so it wasn't just like 20 minutes of music video dancing.
You go down a water slide with a dolphin?
No.
That's what I'd want.
But there's a scene where the big dumb guy's like, he's like, "I'm going to be a dolphin biologist." And like, "Yeah, you're from Britain, so you just, people in Australia are dumb, so just tell them you're from Britain and you'll get a job." So he's like, "Oh, I want to apply for a job and be a dolphin biologist. Do you have a degree in it?" "No, I'm from the UK. Do you wanna pet the dolphins?" And he's like, "Sure." But then he just keeps feeding the dolphin hamburgers. And then eventually kills the dolphin. He eats all these hamburgers. But it's just like, what the fuck is going on? And it had its humorous moments. So I gave it a 5.5. It wasn't amazing, but it was better than the first one.
Feeding him hamburgers.
Feeding him hamburgers. I don't know. There's some other funny stuff in it, too. I don't remember exactly what happened, but...
Well, if you want to find out...
Yeah, if you want to find out, go watch it on Netflix. Yeah, I have 3 more movies, so if you want to do one.
The next one I watched to watch with you.
Okay. What? Well, you did 2 of your movies. Okay, then I'll do 1 more. So the 3rd movie in my box set I watched was Rope.
Rope!
Whoop. Which was kind of cool, because the entire movie, they shot it so it was like one giant take. Like, it was all taking place in one location, and they tried to do it all in one take, which they had to make it look like it was all in one take, because film reels could only fit 10 minutes of footage on it.
Yeah.
So each 10-minute reel was one take, and then... they would do some kind of thing where they pan to someone's back and then away from it, and then the next reel would be... So, like, it was really easy to edit.
Or, like, someone, like, walks in front of the thing, camera or something.
Yeah. But it was crazy, because in the documentary they were talking about how they had to move all the walls and furniture and stuff to get the cameras in, because the cameras were gigantic. Because it was color. It was also color cameras back then, which was, like, the size of a room, pretty much. And they had to, like, move the cameras in, do the scene, move it out, and everyone had to push the shit back so, like, the couches and stuff were still there when they zoomed out and all that. So that was kind of cool. But anyway, the plot of the movie, I jumped over that. It starts with these 2 guys who murder a guy by strangling him with a rope. And then they, like, hide him in a book chest, like a chest full of books. They take the books out, put him in it. And,
I see a bookshelf.
No, a chest. A chest. And they put him in there, and all of a sudden their nanny comes in, because they're hosting a dinner party. So they have a bunch of people coming over to their house, and they have the dead body in the thing, and the guy is supposed to be one of the guests. So his parents show up, and his girlfriend show up, and all this. And they're like, oh, he should be coming here any second, even though they know he's dead. And they had this dinner party, and they put, like... all the food and drinks and everything on the chest that the body's on. Because they thought, hey, this is fun. Like, we're getting away with this. And all this. And their professor is also there, like their teacher, because they're like college kids.
Yeah.
And it's weird.
Sorry, for some reason, you explained this to me before, and then when you explain it now, I don't know why, like, both times I'm just like, why did they kill him then when they knew they were going to have a dinner party? I'm like... Well, they probably had, like, an argument, and then they had...
No,
like...
they just did it. They just killed him.
Oh.
Because they wanted to see if they could get away with it.
Oh.
They just murdered the guy to see if they could get away with it. And, yeah. And the one guy wants his girlfriend.
Yeah, there you go.
And, their professor, like, I don't know. I don't remember exactly what his story was, but it had something to do with, like, oh, the stuff he talks about, yeah, we should kill people. And, like, he's like, that's not how you're supposed to take what I'm saying.
Oh.
And their teacher is Jimmy Stewart.
Oh.
I'm Jimmy Stewart. Oh.
You should kill people.
Yeah. And then I was like, well, that was a pretty interesting movie, like, how it was all in one set. And, and during the whole movie, they have a giant window, and the sun is setting. So, like, they had that whole intricacy of, like, seeing the skyline get... like, lit up and the sun going down and stuff. So it was kind of cool. Like,
yeah.
they had a lot of stuff, like, behind the scenes. And then, like, oh, editing didn't take that long. But everything else they had to set up perfect.
Shit. Yeah, because if you can't... God damn. Yeah. If you screw up one take, that's a whole reel of film.
But it wasn't a real sunset. It was...
No, I mean, like, just anything, though.
Right. Yeah. Then you do a new reel.
That must have been expensive. I wonder how many times they had to...
I don't know.
They must have rehearsed that, like, so many times, like a play.
Well, that's the thing. It was based on a play. So they're like, oh, we're used to the, you know, one camera shot thing. Yeah. You know, like, the stage is here. And then after I realized it was based on a true story about two college kids who just killed one of their classmates to see if they could get away with it.
I feel like that happened like in the last like 10 or 15 years also.
Yeah. But it was kind of cool too, because then in the mini documentary on it, they had the trailer.
Yeah.
Which had nothing, none of the movie. It was a setup to the movie. So like, it shows the girlfriend and the guy that gets murdered.
Mm-hmm.
Like talking on the in a park. They're just in a park talking and stuff like that. And they're like, "Oh, I love it. I'll see you at the party." Okay. And then he leaves, and all of a sudden it just says, "That's the last time she saw him alive."
Whoa.
And then it's like, "What? Whoa. Rope?" And I was like, "Holy shit, that was kind of a cool trailer." Yeah, so that one was really cool. I gave it a 7.
Oh, okay.
7 out of 10. And the next movie you saw?
The next movie I saw, along with Jason, I saw District 9 many years ago, and it's an awesome movie. And this one
is the guy's third movie.
Yeah, Neil Blomkamp movie.
Blomkamp.
Directing movie. But it's called Chappie.
Chappie.
And I remember when I was seeing it, like, the only thing I knew about the movie was, before I even saw a trailer, was it's a robot that comes alive and Hugh Jackman is a bad guy. I'm like, this sounds cool.
This sounds like Short Circuit.
Yeah. It kind of, it's, yeah. So, the idea of the movie is, they're, once again, in South Africa.
Yeah, South Africa, because that's where he's from, and that's where all of his movies take place.
So, South Africa, and a way to deal with the immense amount of, like, crimes and stuff, the police create these robots that are, like, a police force, but obviously no one dies, and they're, like, they're...
Yeah, it's kind of cool. They create these giant robot cops, and they have, you know, you can mass produce them, and it costs less than having a full staff.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, the real cops use them a lot for shields and stuff like that too, like extra protection but and force.
There's no room for error or anything, because it's like, oh, aim, boom, done. Like, you know, it's. I'm like, it's. But then, one of the guy who created the robots, he was working on this AI program. So he's like, I'm going to try it on this broken robot. So he wanted to run it and stuff like that. But in the meantime, one of the other coworkers he's working on sort of like in RoboCop, those giant, there's like a giant like...
Yeah, and Chappie...
Bipod, like giant guns.
Yeah, they look like robot. The big robots from RoboCop.
Yeah.
Is what he's trying to do, and they said...
With pilot driven robots.
So he's trying to sell them these things. They're like, no, the other robots work great. And this is overkill because they got missiles and they fly and all this stuff.
Yeah.
And the other robots that are like cops, they kind of look like Batman now. Like the robot version of Batman in the comic books.
They kind of remind me of like the battle droids from Star Wars, the early episodes. But then obviously he starts getting jealous and blah, blah, blah and stuff. But anyways, he was working on the AI stuff. And in the meantime, these
drug lords,
drug dealer, like gang member type characters, they end up getting a hold of the robot, and they're like teaching them to do everything. So
they can steal cars and get money because they owe this guy like millions of dollars.
Yeah, they owe this like kingpin like a bunch of money. So the robot AI is funny because he's like learning how to do everything, and he just when he gets really excited, he's like, "Chappie, do this! Chappie, do this!" It was really funny, but
it was way more entertaining than I thought it was going to be.
And the plot
was a lot more violent than I thought too. There were some scenes I was like, "Holy cow!"
Yeah.
Well,
that's what happened in District 9 too. This little something like a guy just explodes. Like, what the fuck? But he does a really good job of building up to things because there's some violent scenes, but other movies are much more violent, but. It takes so long to get to that point.
And he makes them seem very believable, too.
Oh,
this could be real.
Yeah, like, oh, God, the... it was... I really, really enjoyed that movie.
Yeah, I did, too. I gave it an 8.5.
I gave it, I don't actually know what I gave it. Where'd my phone go?
You told me what it was. I don't remember, though, what you said.
I want to say an 8 or 8.5.
I said 8.5, and you didn't give it that high.
8.
Okay.
I did give it an 8.
There you go. Yeah, so I saw that one. And then what other movie did you see?
The last movie I saw, I was just here, and I was looking for movies on Netflix, and I just decided to go through my queue, And years ago, in 1990, there was a TV show called Mr. Bean.
Yeah.
So everyone knows, obviously, Rowan Atkinson.
Not everyone knows Rowan Atkinson, but...
Yeah.
If you know who the Bean is.
Bean, yeah, Mr. Bean.
Mr. Bean.
Because they made that movie... Oh, God, what was that? That was in... Oh, we were in high school, yeah.
90?
Well, 90 was a TV show, so it was like...
Oh, okay.
Probably the late 90s or whatever. And then the one I watched was Mr. Bean's Holiday, which was in 2007. So 17 years after that show came out, what happens in that movie is...
So he's like a weird British guy. Yeah. He's like quirky and does weird things.
Giant eyes, big ears, big nose. Like, if you know Mr. Bean, like, you've probably seen him.
And he does a lot of, like, what silent comedians used to do. Like, very gimmicky...
But he's good at it.
Yeah.
But that's one of the problems.
I think the word I was trying to say.
Slapstick?
Yeah, slapstick. Very slapstick type comedy.
But the problem is, like, in his TV show, not a lot of talking happened.
Right.
And it was like...
That's what made it funny.
Yeah, and he'd be like...
Very silent comedy.
Yeah, he'd be in these very, like, weird situations.
Where he'd say something, he'd say really
good. But, for instance, one episode would be him just trying to paint his apartment. Or one episode would be him just... Going to
I still remember the Christmas episode. Trying to decorate his house.
Or then, he's playing the toys in the manger at the store. The police officers and the dinosaurs. But obviously, those are just like him fucking around with things. This movie has to have a plot, and people aren't just going to sit there and watch a movie where no one talks. But what happens in the movie is he wins a vacation to go to, shit.
Australia?
Not Sundance. What's the other movie?
Cannes?
Yes. He wins a...
Not Sundance.
The other movie, yeah. No. So he ends up winning this trip to go to fly... Not fly, in the train. Oh, shit. I can't remember anything. But to go to Cannes and, like, on the beach and all stuff like that and, like, all these other places he can go to. And obviously with him being a crazy weird guy, he ends up and they give him a free video camera to record his trip, and that's obviously he's just running around like taping everything,
mm-hmm.
which is funny because he just gets in the way of stuff, but then it turns into a plot point because he's having a guy videotape him like standing by the train, and then he ends up like the guy ends up getting stuck off the train as it leaves, so he's like trying to run and like get on the train, and apparently because his son was on the train, so then he, like, feels bad, so he tries watching after the sun, and you find out that he's trying to get to Cannes as well. And it turns this whole thing where people start thinking that he kidnapped his son, and he's this famous movie producer, and also there's some of that, and he's trying to get to Cannes, and he has no idea, he's oblivious to the whole thing. But, I mean, it had some pretty funny moments. One of my favorite jokes, though, is because at one point he's in France,
mm-hmm.
and he's like, she's asking him, oh, do you want this? He goes, oui. You want this? No. She's like, oh, you have very good French. Gracias. It just made me laugh so hard because it was just a dumb thing. But yeah, it was weird because, what's his name? Green Goblin was in it.
Oh, Willem Dafoe?
Yeah, Willem Dafoe was in it, but he was like an actor, producer, or director in that, but he wasn't Willem Dafoe, he was just a character. Yeah. But, I mean, it was alright. I laughed a few times, but it would have been, I don't know, the show was a lot funnier. But I gave it a 6.5.
Mm-hmm.
It was just for fun. It wasn't on my list or anything. But, yeah.
And the last movie I watched was in my box set, and that was Rear Window with Jimmy Stewart. Rear Window is about this guy who has a broken leg.
Superman?
No. That was the remake, yeah. So he's tied down, he's just sitting in his house.
Tied down?
Not tied down, but you mean like he's in a wheelchair and he can't do much. So
you give her breaking your leg, fucking stay in your chair.
So then he gets bored and just watches out his window and... It has all the different apartments in his block. You can see, because there's like a little courtyard area.
Mm-hmm.
So you can see across, and he's like watching. There's like a girl working out, like trying to dance, learn how to dance. And then there's like a couple that are moving in, and he's seeing all these people. And like this one couple, he's like, this guy's acting a little weird. and him and his wife are fighting and stuff like that. And as he's watching it, he falls asleep and wakes up, and he comes back to his apartment alone, and no one else is in the apartment. He's like, where did she go? And then he sees that he's like packing up all his crap, and he's like, what happened? And then it starts raining and stuff, and he like takes his suitcase and he leaves, comes back. This is like 3 a.m. It's raining. Mm-hmm. Leaves with a suitcase, comes back with the same suitcase, leaves again. And he does this like multiple times. He's like, he fucking killed her. He's like, he's calling his cop friend, and he's like, this guy he killed. He's like, what evidence do you have? Did you see him leave with her? No. Did you see him kill her? No. You have no evidence. Mm-hmm. So then he's like trying to figure out how he can but he's taking all his stuff. He's got her purse. She wouldn't have left the purse. But that's not evidence. So mm-hmm. The entire movie he's like trying to figure out if he actually did, as you're watching, did he actually do anything, or did mm-hmm. she just leave?
Yeah.
Because you see him leave, with her.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're like, oh, he left with her. They went to the train station. And that's what he said. And they're like, but why would she leave her purse here? And all that. So the whole movie, they're trying to figure out, where did he go? What did, you know? And, and then his, Jimmy Stewart's girlfriend is Grace Kelly.
Ta-da.
Who was super hot and stuff. But, overall, the movie itself, it's intriguing, thinking of it and stuff. But mm-hmm. I didn't think it was that amazing of a movie.
Yeah.
I feel like when people think of Alfred Hitchcock, this movie's right up there.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel Saboteur and Shadow of a Doubt and stuff like that were better.
Yeah.
And I never even really heard of those ones.
Mm-hmm.
So, I gave it a 6. It was still really good. And then while I was watching the documentary, the interesting thing I found, he built the set that was 4 stories tall so they could film this whole thing. And holy crap. That was the biggest thing is we have to build this giant set so you can see in all these rooms.
Mm-hmm.
It's just it's crazy because you watch the movie, you're like, yeah, this looks like a set, but it's gigantic.
Yeah.
He goes above and beyond the production value of these movies.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I gave that one a 7 or 6 out of 10. Oops, mm-hmm. I put this in the wrong spot. That's supposed to be down here. So I watched 4 out of my 14 movies in the Hitchcock and in the box set. Shadow of the Doubt was... No, Rear Window was my least favorite, and Saboteur was my most favorite in the box set. But overall, Dude Bro Massacre was my favorite, and Alice in Wonderland was my least favorite with a 5.
In my box... set of cards, Showgirls is the best and worst at 3. Worst movie overall the month of the 3, best was Chappie with an 8.
And yeah, that's all I got.
Yeah, so if anybody wants us to watch any movies to recommend, last month we watched the movie recommended by Brian, Loved Ones, mm-hmm. and all that stuff like that, and also previously the other one. The submarine.
Yeah. Boat. That was last year, though.
Was it? Either way, email me at stuffbyscott@gmail.com. That's stuffbyscott@gmail.com. Otherwise, if there's any movies you watched because of us, because I know Craig always mentions a lot of things about, oh, yeah, this, and about Horns and how he watched it because of us and all their movies and how he's intrigued or...
Yeah.
Or if there's any movie that we watched and you're surprised that the rating we got and you liked it or more or hated it more, let us know.
You get pissed at me for giving Rear Window only a 6.
Yeah. Yeah, because I know, for instance, when we watched that Tomorrowland, Escape from Tomorrowland, whatever.
Yeah, that was horrible.
Craig thought it was a great movie, and then he watched it on Netflix, and then he's like, yeah.
And then we had Brian watch it, and he's like, why did you make me watch that piece of crap?
But yeah, he was saying, he says he remembers it being a lot better on the big screen than on TV, because it's more obvious on a high-definition screen than how shitty the effects are. Mm-hmm. Where on a big screen, it's, I don't know.
I think it would be more obvious on a bigger screen.
Who knows? It was probably
the fact that it was like at Sundance that made it different.
Yeah, who knows?
Feel different anyway.
Probably the sun, atmosphere. Sun and Sundance.
Sundanced around it.
It shined on the screen or something. I don't know how movie things work.
And good thing you have a movie podcast.
Yay! Anyways, yeah. I think that's it. So,
that's a wrap!
Break for lunch.